auto insurance, all seen.
We'll be right back.
Wow. Build your life on that foundation. Build your heart. Build everything on Jesus Christ, which is our foundation. Folks, good morning. Welcome to another episode of Rise Up here on rumble.com/LFATV. And as you can see, you can't beat God. You can't beat that youngster, and you can't beat God, because God is with that youngster right there. Folks, good morning. Thank you very much for being here with me today as we navigate through God's plan, God's message. KC says, where are those Rise Up tissues? I know, right? Meemaw Becky, good morning to you. Says, this is the day that the Lord has made. Rejoice and be glad in it. Trishy says, great way to start the day. USA Trump for Life says, what an awesome singer. And Aussie Mom says, good morning. This is my first time joining. This is amazing. Praise the Lord. Aussie Mom, you are in for a surprise. You're in for a ride. Welcome to Rise Up, folks. Today's show is titled Waiting is Living. And we're going to bring you through such an amazing message today. Myself, God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit, which is our GPS, our God protective service that guides us on that very narrow path. Folks, do you know how I know that Jesus isn't dead? That Jesus is very much alive? Do you want to know how I know? Now, I would say it's because this beautiful book told me so. And I trust fully in the Word of God. But I've got something even more tangible and even more believable to a non-believer than saying, because this book told me to. Are you ready for this? I know that Jesus is not dead, and Jesus is very much alive because he's still saving people. Over 2,000 years ago, he sacrificed everything that you and I hold dear, our lives, so that we could live in him, and he can live in us, and we can become one. I know that Jesus is alive because he's still saving people as early as a second ago. Oops, just saved somebody else. Up, just saved somebody else. Boom, just saved somebody else. He is surely alive. Otherwise, how could he save anyone? Dead people don't save anyone. Dead people surely don't save anyone. So he is surely alive. And I know there's that great song that says, God's not dead, he's surely alive. So ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Rise Up. Jesus is alive. He's still saving people. Dead people can't do anything. So there's your proof right there for all you non-believers. And please do me a favor, ladies and gentlemen, like and share this video. Or I should say rumble and share this video. And we're going to talk today about waiting is living. And if you look in your description section, since I wasn't able to have enough time to get out a verse of the day in the newsletter today, I decided the next best thing would be to put it in the description. So if you can just scroll down on your phone or on your computer, on your laptop, whatever it is you're watching, or even if you're watching on TV, you can just press down on your arrow directional pad and it should pull up the description. And the description of today's show has the verse of the day, which is Isaiah 43:16. Somebody said, Jeremy, what is your cat's name? Boots. Boots is our cat's name. Good morning, Moose. Good morning, Watercop. Good morning, Mustache. Good morning, Trishy. Good morning, Khaki. Good morning, E. Fitch and SL20 and Viscap in the building this morning. Thank you very much. We appreciate you being here. Again, Isaiah 43:16. And I want to read to you the description of today's show. Then we'll go to prayer. And then we'll get down to the nitty-gritty, okay? Rise Up episode number 324. Don't just be alive. Live. God doesn't want us to just be here going through the motions, worried about what's going to happen tomorrow, regretting what we did in the past, and having anxiety about stuff that we can't control. He does not want us to just be alive. God wants us to live. When we trust in God fully, we don't need to know how things are going to turn out. God tells us to wait. So the key here is what to do while waiting. How are you going to conduct yourself while waiting? Where will the Holy Spirit lead you while waiting? All this will be revealed in your trust in God. This way, you get to live and not just be alive. Let's talk about it today as you help me spread the gospel, not gossip, to literally everybody that you know. The fact that we don't have 50,000 people in here watching and listening to the Word of God means that our work is not done. Amen? Annette says, our life isn't like the show Survivor. Viscap says, live and thrive with all his blessings, no matter how big or small they are. Let's go to the Word and Lord in prayer. Aussie Mom, I guess today was your lucky day then, or your blessed day, we should say. Lord and Heavenly Father, as we gather today on this Thursday of Holy Week, we are so thankful for joy, truth, wisdom, fellowship, and worship. All those things produce fruits of the Spirit that we get to not only apply to our lives, but be a light for others so they can see the fruits that are growing because of your word in our lives. Lord, these last 2 weeks here on Rise Up have just been so amazing, like a massive leap forward in our journey with Jesus, your son. And I guess that's what it's all about. Lord, today we want to talk about how you want us to live and not just be alive. And how we do that is wait on you and not get ahead of you, not try to control the situations. Not be worried about the what ifs and the but if this and the if that. What happens if this happens? That doesn't help us in our lives. Instead, help us focus on how we are to be in that waiting period. Lord, today's message is so very important. And we pray that everybody watching and listening, both now live and later, will benefit from this message and share it with a loved one. We thank you for everything. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Ivana, so that's because we didn't put out a newsletter this morning, but we did put the verse of the day in the description of today's show. So if you just go down to that description, you'll see it's Isaiah 43:16. Let's go there now. Isaiah 43:16, and I'll be reading from my complete Jewish Bible. It's okay if you don't have it. whatever version that you are comfortable that you have in your home, please open up to Isaiah 43:16 right now. Here is what Adonai says. Adonai, another name for God, Father God, who made a way in the sea, a path through the raging waters and waves, who led out chariot and horse, the army in its strength. They lay down never to rise again, snuffed out and quenched like a wick. Moving on to 18. Stop dwelling on past events and brooding over times gone by. Verse 19. I am doing something new. It's springing up. Can't you see it? I'm making a road in the desert, rivers in the wasteland. Now, verse 20, the wild animals will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches, because I put water in the desert, rivers in the wasteland for my chosen people to drink, the people I formed myself, so that they would proclaim my praise. That's a pretty powerful group of verses. And the moral of that story today is this: God has got your back, God has got your front, and God has got your sides. Ephesians 6:11 through 6:20 will explain all you need to know about that, the armor of God. But this is saying you need not worry about past. You need not worry about future. You need not worry about, am I going to make my electric payment this month? Yes, you're in the flesh. Yes, you're in the world. Yes, you have responsibilities and duties. Yes, you have to work towards that. But worrying about whether or not God is going to provide a way for you is not what God wants you to do, because it prevents you from living. You got to understand, folks, worry, stress, anxiety. You know how they say stress kills? You know how they say that strokes are caused because of stress and anxiety and all of that as well? Or they can be caused because of that? Folks, worry doesn't only bring inner strife. It literally can cause biological problems, physical biological problems to you, and it can kill you. Literally, because it can kill you, like die dead from it, not alive anymore, because of your worry and your anxiety and your stress that causes so much strife that it can cause heart attacks and strokes and many, many other physical ailments. This is why God tells you, stay away from it. Because if you don't stay away from it, you're subject to it. And if you're subject to it, guess what? You're not living. You're barely alive. God wants you to rejoice in the fact that you don't know where your electric bill is going to come from this month. God wants you to rejoice in the fact that your credit score isn't where you want it to be. Yes, he wants you to work to get it to where you want it to be, but he wants you to rejoice in what you have now. Glass half full, not half empty. I just had this conversation with my oldest daughter last night. I see the world as a glass half full. I do not see the world as glass half empty. So when massive problems come my way as a result of somebody else doing something nowadays, it doesn't destroy me. It doesn't give me days and days of stress where I go, what am I going to do for that person? Even with the stuff that I'm going through with my own family and my own daughters right now, this massive problem that we're dealing with teenage girls and you know the rest, I find joy. I wake up every day and I smile because I'm not just barely alive. I refuse to just be alive. I refuse to do the bare minimum. I embrace the cup half full, the glass half full, and I see the good in everything. And the bad that I see, I now look at and go, what am I want to go tackle that. I want to go fight that. I want to stand face to face with whatever bad is coming my way, like a UFC face-off. And I want to stand and look at it in its face and say, why are you here? And I'm going to conquer you. And I find joy in the problem solvings now. I find joy in the fact that, how are we going to get oil in the tank, heating oil in the tank? Now let's think about this. Anybody out there that has heating oil, you know what I mean. Anybody out there who needs a wood stove or needs some kind of a heat source because you live in a cold region like I do, it's very scary when you look at your oil tank and it's down below a quarter of a tank and you don't have $1,000 to drop on a full tank of oil so you can have a little bit of heat, right? I used to crumble under that weight. I really did. Now you know what I do? I pray. That's all I do. I pray and I wait. Now, I don't just sit there and go, I need oil in my tank, Lord. I'm going to sit here at my kitchen table and wait for it to be filled. No, that's not what I do. I still do what I have to do. No, we didn't get a kitty, Bad Moon. We've had a kitty for years. He's not a kitty anymore. He looks like Garfield. He's a big fatty. Look at E-Thitch. Oh, yes, we ran out of oil last month. I'm right there with you, folks. You know what I mean? I understand. We all have, every day, most of us have the same issues, right? But it's, do we give in to those issues or do we just say, hey, tomorrow's going to be the same way anyway. Tomorrow's going to be the same way anyway. It's not like I'm going to hit the lottery today and all my financial problems are going to be gone or, you know what I mean? It's not like all of a sudden anybody with physical ailments in my family tomorrow is going to be just, oh, they're not going to be there anymore. So you got to find the treasures in the trials. Now, Godchick says, oh, I remember those boiler days. Yeah, exactly, right? We have two sources of heat where we in our home. We have a wood stove and we have the oil. So we're actually pretty blessed to be able to have both, you know, and you know, if we run out of oil, we always have a little bit of wood or those compressed heat bricks that we could put in the wood stove, and it heats the house up just fine. So, Three Little Birds says, I live in a van down by the river, and no worries. Jesus is the way. That's right. I lost my job in September, said Kara Moore, and I bet you still find joy. And I'm sorry that you lost your job. $1,000 worth of kitty food. Yeah, right? All right. So here's what I want to do, folks. I want to kind of, I wrote some notes down here. And I want to kind of talk about Isaiah 43:16 for a minute in a way that people that might be new to Jesus understand. Now, you and I, we've been going through scripture for a couple of years now, right? Or for at least a year, over a year. Real scripture, really diving in here on Rise Up. So we now read verses and we understand them very well. You guys notice that as you're progressing in your journey with Jesus, you can go older and older. You can go back to like the Geneva Bible and still understand things now, as opposed to when you couldn't understand the these and the thous and the thys and the weights and the, you know what I mean, and all the Hebrew words and this, that, and the other, and you could only understand like the NLT or something like that. Well, now, folks, you're starting, your understanding is broadening, and wisdom is inside you with the Holy Spirit dwelling inside you. And so now it's easier for you to read those older versions, right? And that's what I think is really cool about the word, is like you start to understand it on a whole new level. And then you start, maybe you go back to the King James and you start reading it in a different way. And then you want to go even further. You go back to Geneva and you start reading it in a different way. Then you start reading like Hebrew, like the Jewish Bible, and you really start understanding the Old Testament in a different way. And it's just really, it's fun to progress, right? It's fun to progress. So here we go. How many of you How many of you have, and we've talked about, we actually talked about this last week, so I know the answer to this. I know it's a lot. How many of you feel like you've prayed and it was never answered, right? And you're like, oh, why isn't those prayers answered? Now, we've talked about what could be blocking those prayers to be answered, and we talked about waiting for those prayers to be answered. But here's the thing. If you've prayed for something, whether it be physical, whether it be financial, whether it be for wisdom, whether it be for somebody else, whether it be for your family, whatever it is, if you prayed for something, rather than thinking about the thing that you prayed for and that you're waiting for to happen, you should think about how you are waiting for that thing to happen. Not just, oh, I got to wait now. I prayed and let's see if what happens. Hopefully something will turn around from as a result of my prayers. See, God just doesn't want you to live and pray and hope for the best. He wants you to live and wait on him. He wants you to live, not just be alive and, oh, I hope he answers my prayers. He wants you to live and wait. Because in the waiting, how you wait, what you're doing while you wait, how you trust in God, how you can be a light for others while you wait on God, that is what God wants. That's what he wants. It's how you wait. Actually saying, how can you, Adonai, Father God, how can you prepare my heart and guide my steps for the thing that I am praying for? It's all in the journey, not the destination. Remember, this is our journey with Jesus. So whatever happens on that journey is what gets us ready for our final resting place in heaven with God and Jesus. Leaving this old, tired, decaying, sinful world behind. Don't pray for the destination. Don't be focused on the destination. Don't hope that the destination comes quick. You don't want it to. You want this journey. You want the, it's like going on vacation with your family, right? You don't just want to get there. What are we going to see on the way? That's what we want to do. What are we going to see? What kind of memories are we going to make while we're waiting for God to work? That's the key. If we are faithful with what God has given us and blessed us with while we're in that waiting period, folks, trust me, he will use it for good. And Romans 8:28 tells us that. I'm enjoying the journey. I used to not know, like, why isn't it good? I thought being a Christian was going to make it so that everything was better. Remember thinking that at one point? I thought being a Christian meant it was going to be the end of my problems. God loves his people, right? Remember thinking like that? That's so funny. By the way, it's Diane's birthday today. So, happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Diane. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Diane. We hope it's a beautiful, wonderful, blessed, filled birthday. People with issues should check themselves why they have hate. Yeah, I think we all should, right? I think we should all should examine ourselves daily, right? All right. We don't always know how God is going to do what he's doing. We don't know how. God, what's that saying? God works in mysterious ways, right? Well, if God works in mysterious ways, then God must, excuse me, sorry about that. God must want to be mysterious. Well, why would God want to be mysterious? Because you can't handle the truth yet. Now, you can handle truth, but you're not ready for it yet. It's not been revealed to you yet. When God wants what he's doing revealed to you, then you'll understand the how God is doing this. It's not up to you to understand or know how. It's just up to you to trust. And I'll tell you this right now. God didn't remove the Red Sea for Abraham. He didn't say, I'm going to remove the Red Sea. There you go, it's gone. He didn't do that. He parted away. He parted the Red Sea. You can't understand always how God is working. Abraham didn't see how that he would be the father of many nations. He just trusted. Hold on, I want to stop real quick here. MDUSMC77. If Jeremy didn't experience prison, he wouldn't be the God-fearing man that he is today, because I have experienced the same path as him. Amen. Boy, you are right about that. Remember, all my role models went to prison. Paul, Joseph, Peter, Daniel. All my role models went to prison. Anyway, so here we go. God didn't remove the Red Sea. He parted the Red Sea. Moses didn't know how that was going to happen. He didn't know what the heck was going to happen. He just trusted and it happened. Abraham didn't see how he'd be the father of many nations. Abraham didn't think he'd have a son. Abraham thought he was going to have to sacrifice his son. He didn't know how God was working, but he trusted in God and God worked it out just fine. Then revealed the plan afterwards. The Israelites, they didn't see how they were going to be able to escape from the clutches of Egypt, but they did. Joseph didn't see how he would get out of prison and become who he became. The reason why we don't see how God works is because we're not meant to. God's desire is that we simply trust him to do what he says he will do. Well, then you say to yourself, well, how do I know what God said that he will do? That's when we go to this. This tells you what God says that he will do. So you get those people out there that go, I would love to. I'd love to trust him, but I don't know what he's saying. Well, that's because you haven't learned how to listen to him yet. Well, how do I learn to listen to him then, Jeremy? How do I do that? By reading scripture, spending time in scripture. His word is the word. The truth is the word. In the beginning, there was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. What is the word? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the word. In the beginning, there was the word, and the word was with God. Who was with God in the beginning, ladies and gentlemen? Who was there before everything was formed? Who was it? Jesus. So Jesus is the word, and he's with God, and he is God. And this is where you talk to him. Now you might think, well, I'm not a believer in that yet, or I want to be, but I don't really believe that if I just read this, then I'll talk to Jesus. Let me tell you something right now. This book is alive. And it's the only book on planet Earth that can lay claim to that statement. This book is alive. Not just living. Not just alive, not just living. It is alive and it's living. It is the word. It is Jesus. It is God. It is the Holy Spirit. It is the truth. And we know the word was God, Jesus. And we know the word, Jesus, was with God. And we know that because word became what? Flesh. So when you see the word in the Bible, it's talking about Jesus. In the beginning. Bad Moon says, every time I read it, it tells me something new. Brother, let me tell you something right now. All right? CQ says, Holy Spirit, activate. Holy Spirit, activate. Right? Let me tell you something right now. I have read the same verse over and over and over and over again. And you are right. Every single time, I get something new. Pierces the soul, right? That's what Miranda says. Pierces the soul. So again, the reason why we don't know how God is going to work is because we're not meant to. We're meant to live. We're meant to live in the Word, waiting on the Father. It is that simple. God will make a way before you. He did it before, and He'll do it again. God doesn't always remove your problems, but He does promise in this book to make a path through your problems. And that's how you grow, ladies and gentlemen. That's how you grow. Now, I have a nice little video explanation that shows this exactly in a visual representation. It shows what I am talking about. So if you just give me a second, I have this video archived here. So I got to find it and bring it to the forefront. There we go. Perfect. Okay. This video that I'm about to show you that I archived through watching it on, I think I saw it on Instagram. This video tells you everything you need to know about God won't always remove your problems, but He will make a way through. He will find a way through. Let's put this on. See that, guys? The Word, the Father God, gets out there and struggles for you. All your struggles He takes upon Himself. And He makes it so that you can keep moving. Whatever you do, if you trust in Him to be on the front, to be in your front, to be clearing the way, all you got to do is keep moving. That's it, folks. That's all you got to do is just keep moving. Everything will be okay. Everything will be just fine. So yesterday, we talked about truth. Ignoring truth, right? How dangerous that is. Not accepting truth, how dangerous that is. Does truth exist? Woo. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to play a video from Cross Examined and Frank Turek that tells us four reasons why Christianity is true. And yes, truth exists.
The reason that we believe Christianity is true is because the answer to four questions is yes. How about the first question, does truth exist? Obviously, you hear people say all the time, there is no truth, or you got your truth, I got my truth, all truth is relative. When somebody says there is no truth, you ought to ask that person a question. You ought to say, is that true? Is it true that there's no truth? Because if it's true that there's no truth, the claim there is no truth can't be true, but it claims to be true. In other words, it's a self-defeating claim. Of course there's truth. If there was no truth, an atheist couldn't be right that there was no God. So there is truth. Question number two, does God exist? There are several arguments for the existence of God. Let me just give you one. Even atheists today are admitting that space, matter, and time had a beginning out of nothing. Well, think about this, friends. If space, matter, and time had a beginning out of nothing, whatever created space, matter, and time can't be made of space, matter, and time. Now, when you think about a spaceless, timeless, immaterial, powerful, personal, intelligent cause, who do you think of? God. Now, we don't know it's the Christian God at this point, but we know it's a theistic God, a being who's beyond the world, who created the world. The third question is, are miracles possible? Obviously, Christianity can't be true if miracles are not possible. But the greatest miracle in the Bible has already occurred, and we have scientific evidence for it. What's that?
Resurrection.
I just mentioned it. the creation of the universe out of nothing.
Creation.
If Genesis 1:1 is true, every other verse in the Bible is at least possible.
Ooh.
Because if there's a being that can create the universe out of nothing, can he do whatever he wants inside the universe? If he can create the whole show out of nothing, of course. He can resurrect Jesus from the dead or walk on water or part the Red Sea. He can do any of that. So the final question, the fourth question, which gets us all the way to the Christian God is the New Testament reliable enough to show us that Jesus rose from the dead? The reason we believe in Christianity is because an event occurred, the resurrection. Now, I have to ask you this. Why would the Jewish writers of the New Testament, all were Jewish with the exception of Luke, why would they invent a resurrected Jesus? Why would they say that a man who claimed to be God rose from the dead if it didn't happen? They thought that would be blasphemy for a man to claim to be God. And why would they invent a resurrected Jesus? They already thought they were God's chosen people. They had no motive to invent a resurrected Jesus. And certainly they could not have invented it in Jerusalem, where an empty tomb existed. In other words, ladies and gentlemen, the New Testament writers did not create the resurrection. The resurrection created the New Testament writers.
Woo!
There would be no New Woo! Testament if it wasn't for the resurrection.
Let's go.
Now, even if the New Testament never existed, Christianity would still be true. Why? Because Christianity is based on an event, the resurrection. Do you realize there were thousands of Christians before a line in the New Testament was ever written? Why? Because an event occurred. The resurrection. You have to have more faith to believe it didn't occur than it did. And if God exists, and he does, and can create the universe out of nothing, then he can certainly resurrect Jesus from the dead. That.
Frank Turek, ladies and gentlemen. Jeremy, will you post that in the live chat? Well, you bet your bottom dollar I will. I'm going to post it in the live chat right now. That right there is more proof and evidence that there is a God and that the Christian God is the God than any other proof of any other thing there is. And if you still need proof beyond that, if you're still an agnostic or an atheist, or you just don't want to put the Ten Commandments on yourself so you could keep living in sin, I challenge you, not suggest to you, challenge you to watch the movie A Case for Christ. And you tell me if you don't believe that there's a God. As a matter of fact, specifically, the Christian God being the one and only God. You tell me that you don't believe it after watching that movie or reading that book, A Case for Christ. Because every single argument that could ever be possibly humanly made or thought of comes from Lee Strobel. And he gets shut down every single time. Every single time. As a matter of fact, there's one guy in there who's a Christian who actually gives him the name of somebody to go and speak to prove his claims that God doesn't exist. And Lee says to the guy, "Are you sure you want to give me that loaded gun?" And he said, "I'll give you the loaded gun because I'm pretty sure you're not going to be able to fire it." Many people have tried. Here, do your best. Jump Off says, great movie to convince a non-believer. It isn't even about convincing. It's just about proving, right? Now, remember what I said in the beginning of today's show. I know Jesus is still alive because he's still saving people. Name me another person or another thought, or another idea, or another person in history that can lay claim to that. Here's the other reason. You can't visit Jesus's grave. And you can visit the grave of every other god, of every other religion on planet Earth, except for something that doesn't even exist anymore, and that's Greek mythology. You can visit the grave of Muhammad. You can visit the grave of Buddha. You can visit the grave of Confucius. You cannot visit the grave or the resting site of Jesus Christ. Why? Because he's not dead. Ta-da! Ooh. I'd like to read from these books here for the remainder of the show. If you've got 1 minute prayer for dads, which I know a lot of you do, as we have almost 1,800 people watching, make sure you click that thumbs up, folks. Please open up to page 133, because we're going to be speaking about bold faith, which you have to have, right? You have to have bold faith, not just faith, bold faith, because God tells us that. God tells us that. Ephesians 3:12, we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in Christ. Dads never need be shy about praying boldly for their children. The bolder the prayer, the more God likes it. Boldness means we believe God will answer. Boldness. Eli, you know how I am. I don't like people beating around the bush when they want to ask me something, right? What's the ask? Tell me. Get to the point. Be bold. Be candid. God doesn't want you to beat around the bush. Now, we're going to read from the Bible Promise Book for mornings and evening. I do too, God chick. I do too. Guidance. Proverbs 1:5. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. Guidance means you have faith, you have trust, right? If you're willing to be guided, that means you have trust. And you know what's funny? More people on this earth have more trust in a pilot on a plane than they do Christ. Think about that. Second Thessalonians 3:5. May the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the steadfastness of Christ. Even before Jesus sent his Holy Spirit to dwell in believers, God used a variety of means to guide his people. Praise be to God for giving us his Spirit, who resides in us so that we need never lose our direction as we navigate our way through life. Jesus listens. From the late Sarah Young, who passed away last year. Help me to hope for what I do not see. Eagerly waiting for it with perseverance. Among the five senses, sight is the one I value most. You created the world gloriously beautiful, and I delight in seeing the beauty of your creation. However, I realize that hope, which is itself a kind of vision, is even more wonderful than sight. Hope enables me to see through the eyes of my heart. Hope enables me to see through the eyes of my heart things that are not yet. Woo! That's faith, folks. The most stunning example of this is the hope of heaven. Your word tells me, Jesus, that my ultimate destination is to share in your glory. I can trust in this magnificent promise because it's based on your finished work on the cross and your miraculous resurrection. Ellen Berkowski says, wow, I never thought of it that way. I need to practice hoping for things I do not see, both for this life and the next. Please guide me into hopes and dreams that are in line with your will, always. I want to train the eyes of my heart to see the blessings while praying for your will to be done fully and only. And what do we do in that time? We wait. We wait. That's all. And we live. And we focus on the greatness and the beauty. I will rejoice. This is the day that you made. I'll rejoice and be glad in it. Not this is the day you made. I'll be depressed and anxious in it. That's stupid. That I don't want to do that. Do you? It's very easy to make a choice, folks. It really is. It's very easy to turn your life around with one choice. Be done with something like smoking. Eli, how long has it been since you've had a vape? A month. A month now. And Eli hasn't even taken one toke off his vape. Why? Because he chose not to anymore. Choosing is so simple. It really is. I need to practice hoping for things I do not see, both for this life and the next. Please guide me, Lord.
Woo!
And one more here. And you know what I want to do right now while we're doing this last little group of reading here, this little bit of reading? I want to play some good music on the way out. So can we do that? Perfect. Okay. Woo! That's such a good voice. Okay. God never fails, folks. Psalm 77:8. Has his mercy ceased forever? Has his promise failed forevermore? Sir Winston Churchill, the legendary politician and statesman, known for his leadership in the United Kingdom during the Second World War, once said, "Continuous effort, not strength or intelligence, is the key to unlocking our potential. We can't rest on our victories. Neither can we wallow in our defeats." Remember that on Live from America. We all fail, and sometimes our failures can demoralize us. But even in the failure, there are benefits to be gained and progress to be made. Amen. Some lessons can only be learned in failure, and a day is never lost if a lesson is learned. Failure is often a path to success if we persevere. Basketball great Michael Jordan understood this. He once said, "Failure always made me try harder next time." As we encounter our ups and downs, it's helpful to remember that God never fails and that his mercy never ceases. As we read in Lamentations 3:22-23, which I was just listening to the other day, his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. If your own failures has you questioning God's faithfulness today, place your worries in his hands. He will never fail you, no matter how many times you may fail. Wow, what a show today, folks. I really appreciate all you being here. The crowd's getting bigger. God's word spreading even more. Folks, thank you for being here on Rise Up. Mike Crispy Unafraid comes up next, followed by 2 hours with yours truly of Live from America, a little switch from God truth to political truth. And folks, I hope you enjoy your Rise Up coffee the rest of the morning and your time with God. I pray that you guys will rest and wait and be alive in Jesus' word today. God bless you guys. Remember, God's not dead. He's surely alive. Have a good morning, saints. See you later.